Hey guys, before I take you to today's content, I want you guys to take advantage of our Pro Web Legal Services initiative that we have going on right now in the second quarter of 2024. What is that? Well, it's a website that you get 100% full-blown website with 1 year maintenance, because with SSL certificate, hosting, etc., all for 50% less than the normal cost. This offer used to be $4,500. We're now giving it to you for $2,250, 100%, no strings attached. All you have to do is go to the show notes right now and click on the link where it says Pro Web Legal, and you'll get all the information. So until then, enjoy the show.
Welcome to Marketing Solutions for Local Law Firms, the podcast that provides you with all the latest digital marketing tools, tips, and strategies you will need to implement in order to stay ahead of your competition. If you are looking to substantially increase your caseload in the next 6 months, this is the podcast for you. And now, here's the host of our show, the local business guy himself, Frank Deming.
Hello, 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 everyone. This is Frank Deming of the Local Business Guy. Welcome to another episode of Marketing Solutions for Local Law Firms. Happy Wednesday. Happy hump day, everyone. I hope you guys are having a rocking week thus far. Today, I have the privilege to be talking to you about something that I do not talk a lot about because I am not an expert, and I like to always give you guys expert advice. So for that, I bring in the experts that know all about it, and I'm talking about social media, and there's no other person better to talk about that than the great Colin Ancorn. How you doing, Colin?
Thank you for that amazing intro. I'm like, wow, like in the crowd goes wild energy. That was awesome. Like, was that the horn? Like, yeah, thank you for that. That was wonderful. Thanks for having me.
Hey, well, you know, hey, I've been seeing your stuff. I love your style. I like what you do. And like I told the audience knows, I never talk about social because I'm not an expert on that. I'm a lead generation guy. So, but, you know, before we get into all of that stuff about social, why don't you introduce yourself? Tell me, who are you and what do you do?
Yes. Yeah, so my name is Carlin Ancorn, founder and lead strategist at OSnap Social. We are an agency based in the DMV area, over here, East Coast side, and we have clients all over the nation. And we specialize in creating strategies that ultimately lead you down the path to getting the leads through your digital front doors, right? And a lot of that conversation starts on social media. So we help our clients build that strategy that aligns with their goals to get them those closed deals that they crave. So that's a little bit about me. On the side, I have a beautiful daughter. She is 16, 18-ish months old. She's the light of my life. And I could not do this amazing journey without her. And I like to dance. Listen, just because you're on social media, no, you don't have to dance, but it's a lot more fun when you do. So, but I've been dancing since I was three. And so that's another piece of my personality that I like to showcase on social media as well.
Awesome sauce. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't know about the dancing piece.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that later. So for those of you who do not know, the DMV is the Washington, D.C. area.
Yes,
I happen to know that only because I used to be in the DMV back in the day myself. I don't know if you knew that, but that call.
Yeah, I think we talked about that before. Yeah, we talked about it
when we were setting this up. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Awesome sauce. So what is it about social media that gets you so jazzed up? Like, what's the big attraction for you?
I think it all started back to my journalism roots. Like, it's the ability to control the narrative of a story as a company or a business owner. And that's been, I think, the coolest shift for me. My senior year of college, I took a web comms class. And that's where I discovered that social media was starting to become part of the larger marketing strategy for companies. And I was like, this is what I want to do, because you have more of a leniency in some capacity to showcase who you are, what your company does for free. If you think about it, like Facebook, like all those places are free. You just have to do the sweat equity to show up. And I think that's what a lot of people forget. And people are like, it's always changing, it's always evolving. But for me, two things about that. I find it extremely fun. And the other piece is, I also know that that is essential job security for me too, because people don't want to figure that out. People don't want to figure out all the techno babble. And that's really where I like to live and breathe, because it allows companies to show up as authentically themselves. And that's where I think we all get lost in the sauce of socials. Like, we feel like we have to be like everybody else, when really consumers and our clients just want to know who we are at our core. Mm-hmm. There has to be a level of transparency there as well. So That's what I love about social. It's fun. It's snappy. It allows you to be conversational and have those relationships with people. I think a lot of times people use social as a PR tool, or they're just pushing, and they're forgetting the essential piece, which is being social on social media, having those back and forth conversations.
Yeah. So there's definitely a strategy, behind it. So I'm glad you said that. So as you know, this is, primarily a law firm show. But obviously some of the strategies that you're going to be talking about can help anyone. But specifically speaking, can you tell me, because a lot of times I run into a client and, they have zero social media, and let me rephrase that. They do have social media, but it might as well be zero, because it's not done correctly, because a lot of times the receptionist is doing it, or, they do it at night and stuff like that. So first of all, before I ask you the first main question, do you feel that social media can work for a law firm?
Yes, 100% it can work for law firms, because I've seen it. I've seen it work for law firms when it's done well and when it's done consistent. And I think just with any subject matter experts, we know so much about what we do.
Right.
That's why we're experts. That's why we're lawyers. We have all of the, alphabet soup at the end of our name for a reason, because we worked hard to get it. Mm-hmm. But what people forget is, who are you trying to talk to on social media? Mm-hmm. Those folks do not have law degrees. You need to speak to them like a human. Right. And social media is the best place to do that. That being said, I also understand that law firms in a social space are extremely regulated. Mm-hmm. That's why it has to be, one or two of the partners within a firm, or if you're working solo, you have to have your thumbprint on that content always. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I do that, and this is not just for law firms, right? It's for any client that I work with and who works with other people, because you are you. And until AI gets even better, I can't be you on camera. I can't really, write exactly like you. I get pretty darn close, right? That's my journalism background, and understanding how different publications write in different ways to express things to their audience. But you have to take it down a notch. You have to speak to your audience. And if you don't know exactly who that is, it's time to kind of really take a pause and dive deeper, so that you're creating content with intention. Otherwise, you're just throwing spaghetti at a wall and seeing what sticks. I don't know if people ever say that phrase anymore. I still do, but.
That phrase is used a lot, ironically enough, in social media.
Yeah. Or like, what's the other one? Like, blindfold, like throwing like a dart at a target and hit the bullseye. It's like,
it
doesn't exist.
And that's how it is. Yeah. So let me, I'm going to put you on a spot here for a second, if you don't mind. I know it's early in the conversation, but, I like to put our guests on the spot. So it gets you to, show your expertise. So can you give me, say, three tangible things that a law firm can actually do today, 2024, to move the needle on their social media efforts? Because a lot of them are not doing it correctly.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is repurpose your content that already exists. Mm. What do I mean by that? Do you have a trifold brochure? Do you have a website landing page that tells people about your services? That is a great first step to create social media from that.
Right.
There's no sense in reinventing the wheel if you already have content that is around that you can start to mold and shape and get it out there. Now, if you don't have a website or your website is parting like it's 1999, I would start there. The only reason why I say that, and I think Frank, you would agree with this, is my goal as a social media person is to essentially, depending on your goals for your business, to drive people to your website. Mm-hmm. Like that is what I want to be doing. But if your website is not functioning properly or it's a little bit outdated, it doesn't operate on mobile well, that is the first place. Yeah. That's the first place that I would start and then reverse engineer it.
Well, let me ask you, I don't want to cut you off, but I want to tap in a little bit into what you just said there in terms of repurposing the content and landing pages and all that stuff. Now, as you know, a lot of these attorneys speak like attorneys and they write like attorneys. So when you repurpose this, you know, shouldn't there be some, what do you think about finagling a little bit, right?
Oh yeah, 100%. You have, and that's why I always say, like, you kind of have to bring it down a notch. I think any subject matter expert in whatever they're doing, we all need to bring it down a notch because people don't know our language, especially if they're first discovering who we are. And a lot of that is understanding your client. A lot of that is understanding what you want to be known for in the market, as well as some of the keywords that people are searching for, because people are utilizing social media today as search engines. That is like a big trend I'm seeing for this year.
I know.
And we all need to be paying attention to that because, you know, and it's easy for us to say, oh, well, my client is older, right? Mm. They're like in their 40s. Okay. But people in their 20s, 30s, they're going to be 40. Chances are, they're going to still be on Instagram. They're still going to be on LinkedIn. They're going to be on, I don't even know if they're going to be on Facebook, but some of them are still partying on Facebook, right? Myself included as a millennial. So you have to, it's easy to say, oh, they're not there. Mm. But they will be there. And so prioritizing social media as part of your overarching plan for 2024 is free marketing. Mm-hmm. Just some like people that don't do it. I'm like, it's free. Like, put it out there. Think strategically about it and intentional. And you have to think about who your audience is and how can you storytell with that.
100%.
Relate it to people. And it's going to be different if you're a family law versus criminal law versus, I mean, it's different, obviously.
Yeah, it's different. Yeah. Everyone's different. Yeah. I find that the family law attorneys speak a little bit more our language than the others. But that's
100%
my experience. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I see. I'm like, oh, baby steps. Listen, we're just here to get, you know, some baby steps in there. But yes.
There you go. All right. So I cut you off there. I know you gave us one and I was asked for three tangibles.
Yeah. So one is repurposing. Two is if you are already posting, look at your captions to see if you have any type of calls to action. Hmm. That could be two different things. It could be external call to action, click the link, which takes us to a landing page, which gives our email address to book a call, right? That's the lead generation that Mark or that Frank is an expert in, right? The other piece of that is internal CTAs, which is the intention of those is to keep people within your content and engaging, commenting, liking, sharing, saving. And the way that you phrase those questions are two different things. You know, click here to go away or keep it simple. Drop a thumbs up if you agree.
Mm.
Share this with someone who you think would benefit from knowing this.
Mm-hmm.
Right? People are used to seeing the calls to action, but if you're not taking the initiative by telling people what you want them to do, they're just going to keep it moving.
Yeah.
Scroll, scroll, scroll. The third thing this is a harder adoption. And I know this is to be the face of your brand. I think a lot of lawyers are pretty comfortable with that because essentially, you know, if they're in the courthouse, they're used to kind of being on. How can you translate that through your phone, through videos, through short snippets that engage your audience and give them just enough? Because you're not giving legal advice on these videos, right?
No.
You're sharing about who you are, what you do, and why you do it. Not how you do it, because they got to pay you for the how.
Of course.
But the what and the why, I think a lot of people leave out of their of their marketing. And I don't know why that is. But people do business with other people, not logos.
Exactly.
So how can we elevate that? And short form video right now, and has been, let me just say this, like for years, video has been a very big part of what we do on social media. And it's time that we get out of our own way and start to record it. And the best part about social media video is it doesn't need to be perfect. And I know for those who are listening, that might be really hard to be like, what is this? What is she even saying right now? What is this woman saying? She wants me to hold up my phone and do what? Try it. Because if we've learned nothing from the past couple of years where we've shifted a lot into the digital space and being a little bit more forgiving, social media is that space to try and test and learn and grow.
Yeah.
Because just because it works for your competitor down on the opposite corner of you doesn't mean it's going to work for you, and vice versa. So you have to test and tweak and test and tweak to see what works for you, because consumers, and I think you would agree with this too, like consumers are super smart. Like they know when you're like kind of pulling the wool over their eyes, they're like, this person.
Yeah, he's not.
I'm not feeling it. It's not my person. And that's the best case scenario, to be honest, is by sharing content of who you are and why you do it, attracts people to you like a magnet and repels people away from you who are not for you. That is the best case scenario, because then you're not wasting your time with people who you don't want to work with.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's funny. That's true. I have a funny story about that. There was a guy that, I mean, you, if I said the name, you would know who he is, but I won't say the name here. I asked him, why does he use such foul language in his marketing? And he says, because I want to make sure that people, when they work with me, they know who I am. And I said, oh, that makes sense. So it goes to what you're saying.
Exactly. It's perfect alignment. And it's also thinking about, like, the best compliment that I've ever received is when I've met someone in person or even on a Zoom like this. And they're like, you're exactly how I imagined you'd be. I'm like, thank you. You know,
that means you're being
authentic. Showing up
consistently
the same. And like, my website is pretty quirky and has a lot of energy in the language. I have a lot of energy just in general. Right. So I'm vibrant. I have, you know, lots of bright colors. I'm not wearing bright colors today if you're watching this, but yeah.
But the bright colors behind you, though.
Yeah. I got bright color. I mean, it's part of who my brand is, right? It's, my brand is an extension of me, and I'm an extension of my brand. And I did that intentionally. I think a lot of us are trying to be like everybody else, and we're losing ourselves in that. And that's a dangerous spot to be in.
And that's so easy to do in social media, by the way, because we see these things and we think it's working for them because we see it all the time, but it doesn't mean that it's really working.
We see what, like the highlight reels, what people say. I also kind of compare it to a book. Like, you see like chapter 13 of someone's, maybe that's the bad analogy, because that means bankruptcy. You see, the lawyers are like, bad example. No, you're seeing like chapter 20 of someone's journey, and you're on chapter one, and you're over there being like, look at them. They're crushing it. Why am I not? They've been failing longer. Right.
Yep. It took them. Yeah. Exactly. So. Exactly. You know, I get this question. I get this question asked of me a lot. Mm-hmm. And me not being the expert, I never know how to answer it, because sometimes I sit down with an attorney or whatever, and they'll say, "Hey, Frank, you know, how do I know if my admin or my receptionist is doing the right thing on social? How do I measure this?" So, you know, how do people measure success on, you know, are their efforts actually working? How does that work?
And I wish this was like the easiest answer, but I always encourage clients to almost reverse engineer this for a second. So hang with me. What are your goals on social? Why are you doing it? Are you doing it for visibility? Are you doing it for visibility/awareness? Followers? Are you doing it for clout? Are you doing it to get clients? Most of us need to get clients from our social media and marketing efforts, right? But if people do not know you in your community, getting clients right out the gate is going to be hard on social. Organic, let me just say this, organic, not paid. So what I always encourage people to do is all of your efforts from a goals perspective ladder up.
But you know what? I'm going to stop you for a second. Even on paid social is hard now.
Yes, correct.
Nah, yes. I mean, before it was easy, but even on paid is hard. But go ahead,
yes, 100%. Again, it's like, what's the goal of this? Like, what are we trying to do? And I think in a space for law firms, there's a big piece that we have to do to earn trust.
Yes.
Huge. And they want to know that you're worth the money, worth the time, worth the energy, because they're, you know, depending on what kind of, you know, problem that you're looking to solve for them. It's just, I always compare it to like real estate agents sometimes too. Like, you have to build the trust and you have to prove that you know your stuff before people spend basically their life savings on you.
Yeah.
You know, and in some cases that also might be the law firms, right? You know, so as we're thinking about that, you really need to be measuring what matters for you. You could be measuring follower count. Great. I personally find followers a vanity metric. I don't place a lot of value in follower growth. What I like to see is, how are you driving traffic from social to your website? And from that effort, how many leads are you generating, right? From social, because there's other places, right? And Frank knows this backwards and forwards. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to spend time talking about it. But how do we think about that focus of effort on social, and what is it generating out the other side? So when you're asking your receptionist or your assistant, okay, how many impressions did this get? How much reach did this get? Which means how many eyeballs and repeat eyeballs saw your content? Mm-hmm. That's step one. That's visibility and awareness. If it's low, how can we tweak it? What keywords can we add? Can we add hashtags? Are we adding a call to action? And then you can start to kind of troubleshoot. But it all goes back to, what are your goals? Because all that doesn't matter unless you know where you want to go.
And, you know, and I think that's the problem. I think that's the problem. A lot of them don't know what their goals are when it comes to social. They are just told that they need to be there.
I know. And that's why I would say reverse engineer whatever your business goals are, and then think about, how does social play a role in that, or how can social play a role in that? Mm-hmm. How can it? Yeah. And it's not easy, you know, and I will tell you, every time I'm meeting with clients in our kickoff call, I'm holding their feet to the fire a little bit. And I'm like, hey, what's your overarching business goal? Okay, great. Mm-hmm. What other efforts are you doing to generate that result? From a marketing perspective. And then I can better understand the entire landscape of how they're, you know, distributing their marketing efforts, mm-hmm. and seeing where social fits into the equation in order to help either amplify what's already being done, or maybe develop another, you know, stand up a different campaign for them to reach people that are on that specific social media platform.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Hey guys, I hope you guys are enjoying today's content. While I have you on here, I want to introduce you to a promo that we have going on for the spring of 2024 for all legal practices throughout the U.S. I have an outstanding offer that we've never been able to offer before, but we want to do it because you have been an avid listener. We're only promoting this to people who listen to the show. So if you're an attorney and you are an avid listener to the show and you're thinking about possibly opening your own practice, you want to pay attention to this announcement. We are offering a full website with hosting, SSL certificate, online booking service, online appointment management, and more, and much, much more, with a 1-year maintenance, all for $2,250. That's $2,250 one-time fee, and you have a full-fledged website. If you want to know more about this, just give us a call at 888-416-7752 or send us an email at info@lbmsllc.com. Just make sure that you heard you mentioned that you heard it on the show, and we'll definitely get you that discount. So with that, I'm going to bring you back to the content. Yeah. Now, doing that organically is tough, though. I mean, it's like, at least, I don't know about, you know, again, I'm not a social guy, but, you know, hashtags, for instance, in my opinion, don't even work on Facebook. I know they're pretty good on that, on Instagram and on LinkedIn, as long as you don't have more than 5.
Yeah.
But like on Facebook, I don't, you know, I don't even see it working there.
Yeah, I've seen it slow down, but I still have seen people randomly find things. And I'm like, how did you find this? For example, I shared something where I was looking for a graphic designer. The amount of DMs I had, people were looking to, I guess, work with people who needed graphic designers. So like people are on there, they're more like fishing rather than, you know, swimming around, if that makes sense. The analogy might be lost.
No, I get it. Either swimming around versus fishing. Get it. like it.
Yeah. And then so I've seen it work. I think you just have to be a little bit more strategic. And I think the best thing that we're seeing in 2024 is all of these other platforms really adopting more like keyword specific content that you can add into your captions. So it's becoming less about the hashtags and more about like the meat and potatoes of your caption. Yeah.
Which I like. I'm actually happy about that.
Yeah. I think it's great. And I think there's different schools of thought, especially on Instagram, of like, only use 6 hashtags, only use 2, only use 15. I'm like, if you have the opportunity to share 30, why would you not? Gives you 30 chances to show up in someone's feed.
But that's Instagram. But I know Instagram. For a fact on LinkedIn, if you have more than 5, they actually penalize you.
Yeah, because they're like, let's keep it neat over here, okay?
Yeah.
Keep it neat.
Definitely a different breed.
So,
you know, I have tried this and have failed many times. And I'm sure people in my audience have tried and failed. They always say, oh, if you want to, because, you know, business, the best business thing is relationship building, right? You know, that's why people go to Chamber of Commerce. That's why people join BNI and LATIP and all these other networking things, right? But there's supposedly a trick to the trade of building relationships on social that I would love for you to give us a tip on how to do that, because I don't know how to do that.
Yes. Now, I will say it's not easy. Well, no, it is easy. It's just a work. Mm-mm. It's work. So the best practice that we do is we engage with our audience 10 minutes before we post and 10 minutes after we post.
Okay.
And that looks a few different ways. First thing, and this is platform agnostic.
Okay.
So you can, one, look at the geographic location utilizing search or any of the filters just based on the platform that you're on, finding locations around you, especially law firms. You guys are local, right? What can you find around you? Engage with those people who are sharing about your city and state, who are tagging it in the geolocation, who are utilizing a local hashtag, for example, and engage. What does that mean? Leave a relevant comment on their content. Now, I'm not just saying heart eye emoji, thumbs up. Like, no. Give some value as your brand in that. I always use the coffee shop as an example because I feel like people understand coffee. So the local coffee shop, where it's the watering hole of your city or of your town, people go there to work. They go there to meet up with people. They go there after brunch for coffee and hang out. They're there. And if your ideal client is hanging out there, there's no reason why you can't help bridge that digital and physical gap by showing your brand in the comments section. Say the coffee had a gorgeous latte art with, you know, 2024 on in the foam, like, ooh, fancy, right? And they write in the caption, you know, what's your New Year's resolution, you know, or what's going to be your drink of choice for 2024? And then you're in the comments and you leave what your drink of choice is, or you leave your New Year's resolution. You are being part of their community. And the reason why that's important is people in your community also are leaving comments and they're also looking at the comments.
You mean to tell me that just clicking like doesn't work?
No, no, it does not. I wish that would be like amazing.
I know.
That's one way, right? Like one way to do it is just be active, be, you know, spending 10 minutes before you post and 10 minutes after. The before is where you're kind of doing the community building, where you're reaching out to people who hang out in different people's accounts that they're interested in, because you are disrupting their regularly scrolling program, for lack of a better word. People are typically on social to be entertained.
Yes.
Put it out there. The after 10 minutes, I want you to be focused on, yes, kind of keeping up with that community, but that's your time to go back to your content and making sure that you're commenting if anyone's leaving comments right there on your content. And the reason why that matters is because algorithms currently, as of this recording, it could all change tomorrow, which is super fun. Yeah. Fun and jazzy and also frustrating. You can go and comment back, and that helps the virality of your content because it algorithm values that conversation. They value the social aspect of their platform, of their social media network. So it's not just like a post and like get out of Dodge. It is stay there, see how people are reacting, engage with those people who are reacting. And if no one's reacting yet, double check your call to action. And if they're still not reacting, no worries. Keep it moving with your engagement. Find other local hotspots that people who you are looking for as clients where they're hanging out online. But again, back to audience. It's who's your client?
Yes, exactly. I can almost hear, although this is a monologue thing, not a dialogue, I can almost hear the audience saying, who's going to do all that? So I'm going to ask you another question. Do your service actually offer that, like for the engagement part?
Yes. So we walk everyone through like our pulse check audit, which isn't as scary as it sounds, strategy. And then we do different levels of advancement. So one of them is that engagement piece where we're coming in and we are engaging with your audience based on who we identified within the strategy to find them. And we've had really great success from a local perspective in a lot of different organizations who maybe are, let's say, like a franchise as an example. They're getting content put onto their platforms, but they're not specific to local. And that's where we come in and we engage with the local aspect to get people to notice them. That visibility piece has been exponential for their growth and their services. So, yes.
Awesome. Good to know. I mean, I can almost hear them screaming as you were explaining the process. So
who's going to do all this?
I was just hooking them up a little bit. So before they hit pause on their podcast app.
Yeah. Well, and we also train like that. We also work with like virtual assistants or assistants or your receptionists so that they feel empowered to do that as well. So we've been training folks as well, which long term has really benefited our clients in the long run.
Too. Okay. How long you been doing this, Colin?
Oh man, 12, 13 years, I think.
Awesome.
So I mean, I've been in the social space for 13 years and I've owned OSNAP for 7, and then 5 of those 7 years have been full time for myself. So
gotcha. I love the name, by the way, OSNAP.
Thank you. I was like, no one's gonna remember my name or how to say it. And so I was like, I need something that's easy, that's catchy, that's reflective of my personality. And OSNAP was it. So and it wasn't taken yet. Also great.
Very catchy. OSNAP.
Yeah, thank you.
I like it. All right. So let me ask you another question, because you I see that you do, and not just you, but anyone who does social media in general, they try to interject the importance of, say, putting your personality out there. And I think attorneys have a hard time doing that. So what is the, you know, how does he or she as an attorney put their personality in there while they're doing social media marketing?
I think for those of us that are very in, I'm going to call them buttoned up industries,
mm-hmm.
you have to once again know who you are at your core for the authenticity to come out. That being said, you have to define where the line is for yourself and for your partners if you're part of a larger firm, of where the line is between personal life and professional life.
Mm-hmm.
For example, for me, I have a daughter and I'm getting to the point where I'm maybe going to stop sharing her face, her very cute face, on social media, right? That's just a personal choice. That doesn't mean that I'm not going to share part of who I am, right? Which is a mom. I'm not going to hide the fact that I am one. But I also know that her safety and my, you know, for instance, is priority. So thinking about that, that's my line. I have always interjected my personality into my content because it feels easier to do that than to not do that.
Of course.
Yeah. Now, if you're in, you know, lawyers tend to be, I have one friend who's a lawyer who's like, I feel like I'm turning the industry upside down because like I'm showcasing myself all the time and I'm having fun with reels. I was like, but are people noticing you? She goes, yeah. Good, bad, or otherwise. She's like, but I'm showing up as myself and I can't apologize for that.
Mm-hmm.
And it just goes back to trying to share who you are at your core and your expertise. Everything should go back to your business always. Because the worst thing ever is to maybe finally get around to creating a video. It goes viral and it's all about your dogs. And then people are following your law firm thinking it's about dogs, and then they leave and you lose as followers as fast as you gain them because everyone thinks that your, you know, channel is about dogs.
Dogs.
Yeah. So always weave the thread of your business in any content, even if it's yourself.
That on that dog analogy, they should make it as dog bites if they're personal injury.
There you go. Right. Like, or this is my, you know, if you work at home, for example, and you have a coworker and it's your pet, that makes sense.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. One of my clients has, you know, in the meet the team page, they have the dog on there.
Love so that.
It's funny. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's so true. One of my clients has the same thing because the dog is always at the office. Always.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like their unofficial mascot is their dog.
Exactly. The dog's always at
the office. They dress her up for all the occasions. It's a great time. He loves a pup cup from Starbucks. Like it's a thing, right? And people can relate to it because you're always looking for the approachability and the relatability, especially as a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think lawyers are known, right, for keeping kind of the wall up. we're professional. We don't talk about ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. I think that line is getting blurrier as people are kind of window shopping online to find the right person for them. And yeah. people are going to relate to you in some capacity. So let those differentiators shine right. As well as what makes you relatable and approachable to your ideal client.
Awesome. A few more questions here. So tell me something. What would you advise an attorney or any business for that matter that wants, you know, that's been thinking about doing social media, and now it's 2024 and they're like, you know what? I've been thinking about this since 2021. How would you advise them to start? What would be the first step you think they should take? I mean, after meeting with you and all that stuff, like, what would you think the first step would be?
The first step, oh man, if they have a page already set up and if they've just kind of abandoned it.
It's a ghost town.
Yeah, I would just start posting videos.
So you think video is the thing?
I think that is where you will start to better understand the social media behavior a little bit faster. I also would take top performing pages, blog posts, whatever they are on your existing website, and figure out how you can translate them into a video that shows your face or do like a interview. If there's two partners within a firm, can you both show up? And then you're both taking ownership of it. And people like to watch that episodic content. So test that out. Don't be afraid to test things, but you have to just start. And then we can go back and measure how did that perform? How did that do? And then make recommendations for propelling forward based on a strategy going forward. So that's what I always say. Like, people are like, where do I start? I'm like, just start.
Just do it.
Just do it. Be like Nike.
As my friend would say, JFDI.
Yeah. For real. That part. You know, and if you're lost in the sauce and you don't know where to start, then yeah, like we can chat and have a brainstorm session. At least you have kind of a direction. But most of the time it's just getting out of your own way and starting. And that's why I think sometimes in my consulting side of my business, I feel a little bit like a therapist and I'm, you know, doing the rah, rah, which is great because the result at the other side is seeing the client take action. I'm like, yay, you know, like you just kind of have the happy dance in the background, which is
super fun. Yeah, therapy. Yeah. Actually, therapy and coaching is very close. I mean, I can tell you. So let me ask you. You mentioned video, which I'm glad you did. So how important is video now? I mean, it's been important since, you know, before the pandemic.
Oh my gosh!
Like how critical is it now? Like, do you feel two part questions? Number one, like should we even worry about still photos anymore and just do videos? And that's number one. And number two, if we're going to do video, does the social platform pay attention more to live video than video that you upload, stuff like that? I mean, I know it's a long question,
but yeah, it's a really good questions. And the answer is you should have video as part of the mix of content that you're putting out there. For example, on Instagram, they went for a big, heavy push on video and reels. And people are like, hold up. I'm out. If you're just giving all the energy to reels in this algorithm situation, I'm out. People jumped ship as fast as they jumped on the ship. They were out. That being said, Masseri was like, I'm so sorry. You know, like, okay, we'll add back static and we'll go into the carousel post, which is like the little slider posts. Mm-hmm. So I would say still having a mix of content is important, but where I want people to think about video as the anchor piece of content, the piece of content that only you as the professional can record. Because from there, your assistant or a social media marketing team can extract nuggets from your videos and repurpose them into static graphics or overlay a quote with you, you know, you working at the desk or you doing your thing in court. Like there's things that can be pulled from that, but you are the expert. You're the person that has the law degree.
Yeah.
So you just have to think about that. All the platforms have different, different algorithms that dictate what's successful right now. As an example, I've been testing a lot on LinkedIn with just text-based content, like a paragraph or two.
No.
And that's been getting way more views than my video content.
Yeah.
So you kind of, but that goes back to repurposing, right? You mm-hmm. can kind of test and tweak as you go.
Yeah, LinkedIn is a different beast. Always has been, always will.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad they're finally catching up to things, but I always would say that like LinkedIn used to be kind of like the drunk uncle that would show up late to the party and be like, "What'd I miss?" You know, and they would always adopt all the features years later. But now I think we're finally seeing, because of the pandemic in a lot of ways, we're seeing more of that adoption happen and stay steady, which has been really exciting to see on LinkedIn. So,
yeah. I like the creator mode. It's actually the only platform I play in, to be honest with you. I don't play in any other platform.
I play on all of them just because I feel like clients expect me to be on all of them. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's stressful. Yeah,
you have to be on all of them.
It's stressful.
Yeah.
That being said, I really pay attention to two. Instagram, just because I think it's fun. And I can be consistent there. And LinkedIn, because that's where people do business with other people.
Yeah. Well, Instagram fits your personality.
Yeah.
A lot.
It's a fun time. Mm-hmm. It's a fun time. But my clients really aren't on there.
They're not.
It's more people that are like me that are looking for like tips on how to be better at social.
Mm. Yeah. So I'm not sure if you answered this. What's your take on live versus uploading video?
I think live had its moment. I think live has.
I'm glad you said that.
Yeah, I think it's had its moment. I haven't seen a ton of live videos even pop up recently. I think one place that live is still sort of having success, kinda, is Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I also know on LinkedIn, the audio experiences, if they're consistent, is good. I did live on LinkedIn for a while. By a while, I mean like for a month. So I did four in a row and I was like, let's just test this out and see if this generated anything. It's a lot of effort, but at the same time, if recording video, editing video, and all of that stresses you out, and you're like, I don't have time to edit this, I don't have anyone else to edit this in my corner, go live, save the live to your phone or to your computer, and have your assistant or your social media team extract nuggets from the long form video and use that as your anchor.
And use like shorts.
Yep, exactly.
Awesome. Yeah. Wow, this is awesome. Tell me, Carlin, how can people get a hold of you? Like, what's your website and all your social media handles, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, you can go to osnapsocial.com/resources and all my social accounts are linked on my website, but there you'll find a lot of freebies to download to get, you know, in the know about the latest and greatest from social media news. I also have a snapshot newsletter where I offer a tip, the most upcoming news that's happened in social, an announcement from me, which is going to be a lot of workshops this year, which I'm super stoked about. And the most popular post on my blog, which we send out every Friday. We do not spam you. You just get the goods in your inbox every Friday. So if you have an assistant, make sure that they're on that because it's free.
Yeah. You said these workshops, are they virtual workshops? Or?
They are. And we're doing a lot of pairing up and collaborating with other experts who have complementary services to social media. So I'm really excited about it. I like went and planned all of it last Fridays before. Mm-hmm. And so they're coming. So we'll be announcing them on our website and in our newsletter, first come, first serve kind of deal. And I haven't decided if they're going to be paid or not. They might be free with a fun call to action at the end, but we'll see. I'm excited.
Oh, I'll look out for that because I'd like to attend that. I like to stuff like that. Yeah. Awesome sauce. Well, this has been really, really great. Thanks for coming. Thanks for accepting my invitation to be on the show. But before I let you go, is there anything I did not ask you that you think would benefit the audience?
I think the one thing to ask is, do I have to be on all the social media platforms? I get that question all way too many times, even now.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is no. And I think we kind of touched on that in a little bit ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why it's no is because it all goes back to your audience. It all goes back to your goals. It all goes back to what you and or your team can stay consistent with doing.
Mm-hmm.
Consistency, there's no exchange for consistency. That is where the war is won, is mm-hmm. being consistent and failing more times than other people in your industry and getting out there. So pick two and do them really well and do them consistently before you even branch out to others.
Can't even be one?
It can be one.
Okay.
It can be one.
Thank you.
And then, if LinkedIn's your jam, keep it going. Because if you can be consistent there and you're generating and you're hitting your goals there, keep it moving.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks a lot for that. I'm glad I asked that question. Guys, this is a really, really, really important thing, especially now that we're in a new year. Pay attention to a lot. I want you to follow her on all these platforms. I want you to pay attention to what she's doing and definitely take her up on the offer to join the workshop, because I am going to do that as well. So with that, I am going to put an end to this episode. This has been Frank Deming, the local business guy. And you've just been blessed by the great Carlin Anchor. Take care, everyone. Until next week.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Marketing Solutions for Local Law Firms, the podcast that provides you with all the latest digital marketing tools, tips, and strategies you will need to implement in order to stay ahead of your competition. If you would like to know more about the topic we discussed in the show today, reach out to Frank and his team at 888-416-7752 and schedule a discovery call with one of the marketing consultants. If you'd like to be a guest on our show, send an email to podcast@lbmsllc.com and we will put you on the schedule. With that being said, until next week, make it a successful digital marketing day. Peace out.